Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, I will begin with a quick summary of where we have been in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as we tackle the subject of giving that Paul addresses in chapters 8 and 9, a project offering that he's taking up among all the Gentile churches to send to the Christians in Jerusalem to help them through their time of persecution. And the Corinthian church is one of several churches. We don't know how many, but we know of at least 8, and there are probably more, who are taking part in this project. And so Paul is talking to them about it. He's trying to help them to complete what they committed themselves to. They were eager to make the commitment, but a little slow on the follow through. And so Paul is dealing with that. And he starts out by giving them the example of other churches and how generously and eagerly and sacrificially and joyfully and in a God-honoring way they gave, and then setting that example before them, he moves on to their performance and what they need to do in order to honor the Lord in their giving. And so that is where we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We will invite you to continue with us on the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us. And many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on the station. What do we have so far? Exemplary churches who have performed beautifully. Exemplary churches with an exemplary performance. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. The churches of Macedonia, 3 that we know of, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, if there were others, we don't know about them, but there very well may have been by this time. And these churches in Macedonia, in spite of great difficulties, in spite of no doubt persecutions, in spite of economic hardships, joyfully gave. They did this with great joy, so that even though they were, many of them, suffering deep poverty, they gave generously, they gave according to their ability, yes, they gave beyond their ability. How does one give beyond his ability? By faith. He gives more than what it appears that he would be able to give, but he does so because he believes it will honor the Lord. He trusts the Lord to take care of him, and God will reward those who give joyfully and cheerfully to him with a right heart motive, with a heart motive to give, not to get. This is not the health and wealth gospel, give a little to get a lot in return. This is not slot machine giving, put a dollar in and get $20 back. This is giving to honor the Lord and trusting the Lord to take care of you after you have given generously. Obviously, you can't give at all unless you don't need to eat, unless you don't need a place to live, unless you don't need clothes to wear, unless you don't need the expenses of life. You can't give everything that you have. Much of it will be needed to take care of the necessities of life, But all of us can give. That's right. All of us can give. And most of us can give, I would say all of us can give more generously than we presently are. And so that brings us in verse 4 to the exemplary desire of these Macedonian churches. Paul says, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Imploring us that with much urgency we would receive the gift. In other words, they were afraid that Paul was going to pass them by, in other words, because of their difficulties, their persecutions, their hardships, that Paul was maybe not going to give them an opportunity to be involved in this project. And so they begged Paul for the privilege of being involved, imploring us, that is, requesting of us, it's stronger than that, begging of us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They begged Paul to be allowed to participate. It was the churches, not Paul, who did the begging. So often today, it is the preacher, it is the ministry leader, it is the person involved in a particular operation that relates to the work of the Lord, a church perhaps, or a parachurch ministry perhaps, but generally it is the person who's trying to raise money for his project, for his ministry, that is doing the begging. But in this case, it was the churches who begged Paul to be allowed to participate. And they saw this as a tangible act of ministry. That was their opportunity to minister. And as a significant act of fellowship, that is a partnership. Again, I read verse 4. Imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship. There's that partnership. It's a significant act of fellowship when you give in this way. And the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. What a desire they had to give. And this, remember, is beyond the giving that was required to meet the obligations of their local churches. And those obligations are also God-given. God instructs churches to financially support their pastors who minister God's word to them. You can find that in several places that I will not turn to at the moment. I trust you are familiar with them. But God's word instructs that. This is beyond that. This is beyond the needs of the local church, which they presumably were giving to sufficiently to support their local church so that it could function as it ought to. But beyond that, here's a special project. It is a collection that is being carried out, that is being raised among many churches. It is combining the offerings of a number of churches so that a significantly large offering can be sent to Jerusalem to support the persecuted saints there. It is an act of ministry, for it is the Gentile churches serving the church at Jerusalem, ministering to them. It is an act of fellowship, partnership, because it is the Gentile churches partnering with the church in Jerusalem in order to help them in their time of need. It is exemplary desire. It is exemplary dedication. Verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. Something beyond Paul's expectation, an unusual act of Christian commitment. I read it again, and not only as we had hoped, they are going beyond what Paul had hoped in their giving, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. An unusual act of Christian commitment. They renewed their dedication to the Lord, first of all. Here is this project. We don't have much. We are facing trials, trial of affliction. He tells us in verse 2 that in the great trial of affliction, we are facing great trials. We are facing a certain measure of poverty, or deep poverty, he says in verse 2. We don't have an abundance. We certainly don't have a surplus. We are strapped financially just to meet the obligations of our own local church is a pretty heavy lift right now for us, but here is an opportunity that we don't want to miss. What an attitude. How many Christians today have an attitude like this in regard to their giving to the Lord? How much more often the attitude seems to be, quit asking for money. I'm tired of hearing about the need for money. You're asking too much. You're begging for money. Well, I actually would agree with some of those sentiments because I do think that in many cases there is too much begging for money. That's not really what we see here. It's not Paul begging for money, but it is Paul giving an opportunity for them to give and urging them to participate in that opportunity. And they said, we want to participate too. First of all, let's rededicate ourselves to the Lord. How about that for beginning on your giving? And then secondly, let's rededicate ourselves to the leadership of the Apostle Paul. They renewed their dedication to Paul. This shows us that they were dedicating themselves, first of all, to the Lord. And secondly, they were dedicating themselves, we might say, to the visible church. Paul, of course, was the apostle who founded the church in Philippi. And Paul was involved in missionary work and was founding churches in many places. So they renewed their dedication to the Lord. They renewed their dedication to the apostle Paul. And then they gave themselves to the Lord by giving themselves to Paul. Isn't that an unusual concept? And yet here it is. Shall I read it again? Verse 5. And not only, as we hoped, we have to back up to verse 4. Let's back up to verse 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yea, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, and not only, as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And so they renewed their dedication to the Lord. They renewed their dedication to the Apostle Paul. They gave themselves to the Lord by giving themselves to Paul. Now, think about this. How do we give ourselves in commitment, in dedication to the Lord? And probably a lot of different ideas come to mind, but Paul says they did it by renewing their dedication to me, to my ministry, to my leadership. That's the way they dedicated themselves to the Lord. Jeffrey Rilson, in his commentary, says the secret of their generosity was their unreserved commitment to Christ and his apostle. I linger on this because it's so unusual, so foreign to the thinking of many people. The secret of their generosity was their unreserved commitment to Christ and to his apostle. Think about that and come back on Monday as we continue. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.